Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you this morning. We just thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of trials in life, even in the midst of our struggles, and even when things aren't going the way that we would want them, even for a whole year, God, we find 10,000 reasons and even more to bless your name today. God, as we gather in your house, Lord, let us remember, the Lord, that we are the church and that you call us children of God because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We simply place our faith in Jesus Christ and we become children of God, and we have a Father in heaven who loves us. He never fails us. He never forgets about us. God, somebody needs to be encouraged today. It's not just me. We need to be encouraged today. God, that we have a good, good Father that's still on the throne and still in charge. And God, we're going to worship Him today. We're going to worship You today. And we're going to thank You for all that You do for us, all that You have done for us, that unexplainable love that we can't even wrap our brains around. God, we stand this morning, before we get into the Word that You gave us, and we just focus on the goodness of God. And we thank You for being a good, good Father. Lord, let us just dwell on that for just a few minutes as Your Spirit becomes real to us this morning in this place. You are a good, good Father.
Yes.
Lord, let us not run through the motions this morning. Let us not just run through just because it's what we always do. And we want to hear a good sermon. Lord, if that's the case, we're going to leave out of here disappointed this morning. If that's all we came for. God, may we experience Your presence this morning.
Yes.
God, may we open up our heart this morning. May You open it up and plant Your seed of Your Word into our hearts. God, that we may go out into this world that's dying and broken, and so many people are just living in so much pain and regret. And all the different things, addictions and all this stuff. God, You want us to be the salt of the earth. God, we thank You this morning. And we just pray that You will make Yourself evident to us, and we will get out of the way and let You work in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, if you have your Bibles with you today, if you want to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 11, we're going to get back into our study of Matthew. We took a short break last week, just focusing on Christmas and what we celebrate and why we celebrate and who Jesus is. I hope everybody had a truly happy, joyful, Merry Christmas. I know myself, I was telling some of our family, you know, we got together with different sides of the family on different occasions, and it wasn't like it always was. We had to wear masks and we had to kind of stay away from each other. But you know what? We got together on Christmas Eve and a few days before Christmas with other sides of the family. But I really enjoyed the fact that we didn't go anywhere on Christmas morning. I really just enjoyed the simple nature of just being at home, watching the kids play with their presents, taking an afternoon nap that lasted almost all day. You know, sometimes we get so busy wrapped up in stuff that we forget that we're supposed to rest, right? That's the purpose of a holiday, is to be off and to rest and spend time with your family. And even though sometimes we have good intentions, we can get so busy that we don't enjoy the season. And so even in the midst of all this COVID mess and whatever and all the disagreements in the political world, we can still find those blessings that have come from all this. Amen. I had a great day on Christmas Day, just spending time with my family, just staying at home and doing nothing all day. I'm good at that. I'm a state employee. But it felt good to be at home. Took you all a minute to catch that. All right? But you know what? God is good this morning. God is good. I hope you were able to focus this week and yesterday on Christmas and all the time leading up to it, and we'll continue to do it. The eternal nature of baby Jesus that we talked about last week. I hope we'll continue to celebrate it through the beginning of the year, the eternal nature, the eternal power of baby Jesus, and why we celebrate Christmas. As we get back to our study of Matthew, we're going to continue to see this baby Jesus grown into a man outdoing his ministry. We're going to see not only does he show us how to live, we know that he showed us how to love, But there's so many things that we can learn from Jesus Christ, not only from the spiritual side, but from the physical side of his nature and what he taught and what he spoke to people, the words that he said, the lessons that he taught. And so that's what's been so powerful about just going line by line through the Gospel of Matthew. If you go back 2 weeks ago, if you recall, John the Baptist was asking Jesus, he sent his disciples to say, "Are you really the Messiah that we've been expecting?" All right, so John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends these messengers to go tell, ask Jesus, like, "Are you really the one we've been waiting on?" Right? I just want to make sure. You're the one, right? You're the Messiah. And we saw that Jesus didn't rebuke him for asking this, did he? Instead, Jesus spent some time reassuring him. He sent the message back. He said, "Remember what, tell him what you've seen. Tell him what you've heard. Tell him all the things that you've seen me do. Go reassure him that I am the Messiah." And we talked about how sometimes we, often, if you're like me, need our faith to be strengthened, right? And does this mean that we're bad Christians? Does this mean that I'm not going to find favor with God, or God's going to be angry with me because of sometimes I doubt a little bit, or I say, "Lord, I can't understand that. How is this going to work? There's no way possible that this should work, but I know this is what you're laying on my heart, or I know that you've put me here, but what do I do? How is this going to work? There's no way this is going to happen." Doesn't make you a bad Christian. It doesn't mean that God is angry with you. It means this. All we have to do is invest in our relationship with Jesus. I think sometimes when we doubt and when we feel like we're kind of distant, or we're like, "Man, I don't know. I don't know if this is, I don't know. Is this all the stuff that I believe? Is it real or whatever?" Sometimes we have a great opportunity at that point to grow even closer to God than we were before, because it makes us dig in a little bit deeper. But we have to make the choice to do that. All we have to do is come to him and ask him the questions that we have. Read the truth in the Bible that God gave us. This is the roadmap to life right here. This is the way and the truth and life. Jesus said he is that, but we've got all the perfect nature of God outlined for us right here, and his plan for our life right here in the Word of God. So when we find our faith wavering a little bit, we just go right back to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will come and reassure us through reading his Word. The Bible says what? Faith comes from hearing the Word. Amen? So if we don't read the Word, how are we going to be reassured by the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus did with John the Baptist? How are we going to be reassured? Well, today we're going to see that Jesus yet again turns to the crowds, and he's giving the crowds a reminder. Right after he sent his disciples back and said, "You go tell John the Baptist all the things you've seen and done," then he turns and he focuses on this crowd that was there listening to this whole thing. And even though it may seem like Jesus is rebuking them or reprimanding them a little bit or kind of getting nasty with them a little bit, he's making sure the people know that John's faith was not weak because he questioned Jesus. Remember, we talked about it. He was still saying, "Are you the Messiah we are expecting?" So he wasn't not believing that there was a Messiah coming. He was just making sure. He needed to that seal of approval, saying, "God, is this really what you're doing? Are you really the one?" And he's reminding them that in this scripture that we're going to read today, that John had a call upon his life as a prophet. God had called him, not a man, but God had called him himself. So let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 7 through 15. And this is what it says. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed, swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scripture refers when they say, 'Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.'" Verse 11 goes on to say this, "I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and all the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word, like we always do. And we just pray your blessing upon this time together as we dive into this passage and this little bit of scripture that we read today, God, that you would just give us a revelation today. Lord, we know we're all going through something different. We're all on different walks with our spiritual life. We're all in different seasons of our life. But God, we know when we just read your word and when we come into your presence, we stop everything else. We stop the busyness. We stop all the things that we get caught up in. And we just focus on you. God, you always come through. You always reveal that perfect nature. You're perfect in all of your ways. And you always meet us where we are. And so, God, that's my prayer today, Lord, that you would speak to each person individually here today, each person that's listening online, Lord, that we would read your word and that with the words that you've laid on my heart, Lord, would speak to somebody today. Lord, we love you again and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in this crowd, if you go back right to the beginning of this passage of verse 7, in this crowd of people, Jesus is talking to this crowd. There were some who thought that John the Baptist was wavering in his faith. They were thinking like, man, well, John the Baptist he's doubting Jesus. Like, it started raising up a little bit of ruckus. Well, Jesus knew that if people were allowed to think this way for too long, you ever been in a crowd and you see like I know with the youth group sometimes, you know, I'll be teaching a lesson and I'll say something and in the moment that I say, does anybody have one? And before you know it, one kid raises their hand and another kid raises their hand, another teen raises their hand. And then before you know it, you're talking about something that has nothing to do with it. It just goes out of control. And me and Corbin will laugh, or me and Jenny or Lisa will laugh and we'll say, we lost them. We lost them. Well, I think the same thing was going on with this crowd. I think people were starting to murmur and they were starting to say, well, why is John the Baptist questioning? And Jesus knew that if the people were allowed to think this way, they would soon start to question if John was really a prophet, if he really was who he said he was. And if they began to question John, they would soon begin to doubt Jesus, right? Y'all awake this morning? Amen. So Jesus spends some time, and he spends his time investing in their faith. Look with me at verse 7. Don't worry about the camera. We're working out all that technology. Look at the Bible this morning. Listen what it says. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was it a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? See, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds, right? He was talking to John about John the Baptist, about not having this wavering faith. Remember, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Questioning God does not necessarily mean that our faith is wavering. I don't know how many times that I come to God and I say, God, are you sure this is the direction you want the church to go? Are you sure this is where you want me to be? Are you sure this is the person that I'm supposed to be ministering to today? Or whatever. I mean, God wants us to come to him with our questions. Jesus is reminding the people that John the Baptist was a strong man of his faith, and he wasn't swayed by the wind of change. In fact, it didn't matter whether he was standing in front of the evil King Herod, or if he was standing in front of a crowd of other Baptists or whatever he was, or other believers that were shouting, amen, brother, preach it. It didn't matter who he was standing in front of, where he was, who was around him. He was going to preach the same message. And his faith never changed. His message remained the same. So just because he questioned Jesus didn't change the fact that he was a believer in the Messiah, right? We talked about that. Just because he questioned Jesus didn't change the fact that he was strong in the Spirit. Just because he questioned Jesus didn't change the fact that he was consistent in his message. This is how each of us should be, church. Christians, this is how we should be. No matter where we are in life, no matter where we go, who we're around, who we're talking to, our message, our attitude, our personality, who God created us to be and who God wants us to be, and the message he lays on our heart to share with somebody should always remain the same. Even if we have questions for the Lord, we won't be tossed about in our faith. So even in those moments where we say, God, are you sure this is what you want to do? That doesn't mean that I'm not talking about stepping away from your belief, okay? That would be wavering faith. We stand strong in our belief. But it's okay to come and ask questions. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says this. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We got to stop there for just a second. There's some people here today, some people listening online, like Corvin. They're a little immature. All right? We need to grow up a little bit this morning. Sometimes it's okay to come to church. It's okay to want to hear a sermon. It's okay to want to be fed. But a certain point in your life, you got to grow up a little bit. And that's what Paul is telling us here. He's saying, grow up a little bit. It's no longer be like immature children. And he goes on to say this. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. See, sooner or later, I have to make the decision as a believer to get a Bible, first of all. That's the first key, is own one, okay? The second key is to go like this and knock the dust off of it, right? Or get the coffee cup stains off of it where it's been sitting on your table. And you open it up and you get into the Word. You digest it. And you get in, you let it work on your life. It's the Word of God says it's like this. It's like a mirror. When you look into the Word of God, all of a sudden you see how much you need the grace of God, right? You see who you really are when you read the Bible. And you see how good God really is and how much He loves us. So sooner or later, the Bible has to come real to us, and we have to wake up and say, I'm not going to be immature like a child. I'm going to take some responsibility in my spiritual life, and I'm not going to be tossed about and blown about by every new wind of teaching. And it goes on to say this, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever that they sound like the truth. Oh, what a lesson for us today from John the Baptist. Church, what a lesson that John the Baptist and his strong faith gives us. We're living in times where false teachers are, it seems to be that there's more false teachers than there are real preachers of the gospel who would just stick to the Bible. Has anybody else noticed that? Or am I alone? We are living in times where false teachers are tricking so many people, and their lies sound so clever, they sound like the truth. And you know what? Sometimes they're deceived themselves. They're not the enemy, right? They're not the enemy. A lot of times they're just deceived by the enemy. And so I'm not sitting here just talking bad about other preachers or anybody in specific. I'm just saying that sometimes even with good intentions, people are tossed about by the wind, and their message changes. When hard times come, when politically correctness, you know, comes knocking at the door and they get pressured by a crowd or whatever, all of a sudden the gospel or the message of the Bible has to change to please the crowd. See, John the Baptist didn't do this. There are so many who are swayed like weak reeds in the wind. They're being tossed about by the wind. And we as a church, we individually, we have to invest in our spiritual life. And we have to invest in our knowledge of God through reading the Word and by praying and by spending time and investing in a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. We must stand strong like John the Baptist did, even when he was in prison. And we must stick to the untainted gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Look with me at verse 8. We're only in the second verse. Just let that sink in for just a minute. You were expecting to see, or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. See, here's Jesus reminding the people that John was not a man of fine clothes. Okay? So he wasn't somebody fancy. He wasn't what they would have pictured as a priest or a prophet or a godly leader in those days. He didn't wear white robes and spend his time in the temple behind a curtain like all the other religious leaders. He wasn't a slave to his possessions. He didn't live in a big palace. He wasn't a slave to himself and his own desires and what he wanted to do. No, he was a man of God who had no problem at all denying himself. Remember, he lived out in the wilderness, okay? Everybody thought he was weird. He wore crazy looking clothes and he was eating locusts, all right? I don't know about you, but that sounds like he was denying himself a little bit. And simply being a messenger of God. He knew what it meant, and he took it seriously, being an ambassador for Christ. We're to put aside the things of the world and simply be ambassadors of Christ, just like John the Baptist was. Jesus was reminding the people how John the Baptist was simply doing the will of God. While the other religious leaders were worried about themselves, while they were worried about their money and their positions and their ranking and the religious systems and all that, their traditions, John was busy denying himself and preaching about the kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to do ourselves, every believer. Well, no, we may not be John the Baptist. God has a different a gift and talents. He gives different missions for each one of us in life, but he does call us all to do something. So somewhere along the line, we should be denying ourselves like him and preaching and telling people about the kingdom of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus says, or what he asks the people next in verse 9 and 10. He says this, were you looking for a prophet? Yes, he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, look, I am sending a messenger ahead of you and he will prepare the way before you. Now remember, Jesus was reminding these people that John the Baptist was sent directly from God. Do you remember, you know, before you go to the birth of Jesus, when Mary went to go visit and the mother and the baby leaped in the womb, right? You remember that story? That was John the Baptist. It was all ordained by God because he knew that if they lost their faith in the God that was foretelling his coming, they would surely lose faith in Jesus himself, like we talked about earlier. Jesus says, were you looking for a prophet? He says, yes, he's even more than a prophet. God always does that with me a lot of times. He'll say, you know what? I say, God, I know you put something on my heart. And I put it in this little bottle. So I take what God, the vision that God has taken, and I put it in this little bottle. I say, well, this is what it's going to look like. And God says, really? Like, let me show you. Is this what you were expecting? Let me show you something. You need something with no walls and no barrier from me. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, yes, he's more than a prophet. Jesus was telling the people this. John wasn't just a prophet, but think about it. He was the one that was subject to prophecy himself. He was a fulfillment of prophecy in himself, in his life. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in the Old Testament. He says, listen. This is Isaiah 40, verse 3. He says, listen, it's a voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. So not only was John a prophet, but he was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Sometimes when our faith gets a little weak, we must also remind ourselves. That's why we go back to the Word of God, like we talked about a few minutes ago. We have to go back and look at the prophecies that have already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Look at the prophecies and over and over in the Old Testament, the goodness of God and how everything that he says comes to be. If we only read about the birth of Jesus at Christmas time, right? It would be easy for us to doubt. Well, I don't know. That doesn't make sense. But how do we know that's really true? But if we read all the events and the prophecies, even from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the New Testament, that lead up to the birth of Jesus, that's just one event talking about prophecy because we're right here at Christmas time. If we look at the events recorded that have already happened, the ones that are happening right before our eyes, if we look at the ones that are still to come, it helps silence those doubts a little bit of our faith, right? When we see like, oh man, okay, well God really does fulfill his promises. Like God really is a good father because look at all the stuff that he told the prophets was going to happen and look how it happened and look how it came to be. And then we look and we say a little further in the Bible and we say, look at the things that are still to come. This is what Jesus was doing with the people that he was talking to. He was reminding them of what they had already been told. He was reminding them of what they already knew. That's why we come to church. Now, there may be somebody here who's not a believer today. But as a majority, and that's great. That's the church is for you. But a lot of times, the church is normally filled with people who are already believers, right? We come to church and we need to hear what we already know. So we can, our faith can grow more and more and more. We need to be recharged so we can go back out into the world. That's why it's so important for us to read the entire Bible, because it reminds us of what we've already heard. Look at verse 11. Jesus goes on to say this, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. So here is Jesus himself telling people that John the Baptist is the greatest person who's ever lived. But I love how he says, yet he still isn't even as great as the least person in the kingdom of heaven. So why did Jesus say this about John the Baptist? Why would he pick John the Baptist to say he's the greatest person who's ever lived? Well, really think about it for just a minute. Think about how fully committed John the Baptist was. As he's telling this to the people that are the crowds that are standing there, John the Baptist is in prison. He was in prison for preaching about the kingdom of God, and yet he did not have the full knowledge of God. He didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have dwelling in him. He was fully committed, and he did not have the New Testament. He didn't have the book of Matthew to go back and look at it and say, okay. All right, let's look at this because, all right, I know the Old Testament says this, but, you know, he didn't have any of that. He didn't have the book of Revelation to see how the story ends. He was just trusting Jesus as the Messiah, and he was trusting the prophets that God had sent and given messages before him. You see, this is where we as believers should be challenged. but it's also where we need to be encouraged this morning. We have more knowledge about God than John the Baptist did. Now, some of y'all are getting ready to like throw something at me and say blasphemy or something. Really think about it. We have an opportunity, we have the luxury to have more knowledge about God than John the Baptist did. We have the full revelation of God through the complete Bible, right? We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us in the new covenant. When we put our faith in Him, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and we have that available to us, that the Holy Spirit will actually dwell in us. Jesus said what? He said, you'll do even greater things than I've done. And all we have to do is look at the cross. All we have to do when our faith is wavering and we think like, I don't know, is God really a good Father? I mean, we sing about it. All we got to do, and we start having those doubts, is we just go over there and we just stare at the cross for a second. And when we look at the cross, we suddenly realize, oh, the Messiah did come. He did die for me. He did rise again on the third day. And He is ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God pleading for me. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to wake up this morning. Amen?
Amen?
When we look at the cross, it needs to remind us of the goodness of God. John the Baptist didn't have that to look at. He didn't understand that yet. He didn't know about it. He was living in the moment. We go back to the Bible and we read the events as often as we need to. I can go back to the Word of God and be reminded. We should go back to it more than just the times we need to be reminded. But you know what? If we get into a spell in life, we're like, I need to be reminded of the goodness of God. It's right there. It's right there in the Scriptures. John didn't have that luxury. Just think about it. A humble, regular person in Fork Union, Virginia, can know more about God than some of the greats in the Bible that we read about all the time. That we say, man, those people had great faith. We have the resources to know more about God than Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Daniel, Isaiah, all those people. And if we have those resources available to us, that means that we should be taking on some more responsibilities, right? Just going back to Ephesians chapter 4, it's time to grow up a little bit and to take what we've been giving and step out on faith a little more. Even more than some of these well-known people in the Bible. We look at Abraham, we say, man, what faith he had. What faith he had, which he did. How much faith should we have, knowing the end of the story? Amen? We have the privilege to proclaim the cross. We have the privilege to proclaim the resurrection and the eternal nature of Jesus and what He overcame for us. John never knew the cross and the resurrection. He only knew the Messiah had come. Yet look at how committed he was to his preaching. What a lesson for us today. We have the end of the story. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the hope of the resurrection. But what are we doing with the church? What are we doing with what we've been given? Jesus was telling these people that John was great because his faith and commitment in preaching about the kingdom of God was like none other. But as great as he was, I love how Jesus says, he says, he's nothing compared to the least person who has already received their heavenly body. He even as great as you can be on earth, as much good I can do for God here, I'm nothing compared to the greatness of heavenly beings and somebody who's already in heaven or the least of these in heaven. Look at verse 12. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, I love this, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking. Can you imagine Jesus himself standing before a crowd of people bragging on you? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being that person that Jesus Christ says, let me tell you what's been happening to the kingdom of God since this guy started preaching or this person started becoming a believer and doing the will of God? Can you imagine this being said about you? I can only imagine or I can only hope that Jesus is in heaven saying, you know, since Anthony Clore quit being stubborn and he finally said, you know what, I'm going to go preach the gospel, I can only hope that the kingdom of heaven is being forcefully advancing. Luke said this about the beginning of John's ministry in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. He says this, until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the messages of the prophets were your guides. But now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached and everyone is eager to get in. See, that's what's so important about preaching the Word of God. That's what's so important about us speaking what we know in our heart out to other people. Because you know what? When people hear us say it, when people hear us come up to you and say, you know what, Lloyd, brother, I just want to tell you what God has done in my life. I want to tell you what God, and he sees the joy in my eyes, and he sees my eagerness to speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news. All of a sudden, he's going to be eager to get in, right? Jesus was reminding these people that even though John the Baptist was a human, even though he questioned Jesus, he was still doing great works for the Lord, and the kingdom of heaven was advancing because of his work. There's somebody here this morning that says, what I'm doing for the Lord is in vain. Or maybe nobody recognizes it, or maybe it's not. What good am I to the kingdom of God? I want to tell you this morning, God has a plan for each one of you. Each one of you listening online, he has a plan for me, and it may not look the same as everybody else's. But there is something that you can do. There's a person, if nobody else, there's one person in your life that is waiting for you to be that person, to advance them, make them eager to get into the kingdom of heaven. Share the gospel with them. Share the love of Christ with them. We have to ask ourselves this morning, we have to ask ourselves this question, what am I doing? Since we have become believers, since I have become and I've accepted the gift of salvation, I've become a Christian, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ, since I have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, how much has the kingdom of God advanced as a result? Think about that for just a second. That's for each of us. That's for me. I'm preaching to myself. How much? It's more than just me preparing a sermon every week, okay? I'm talking about everyday life. Since I have accepted the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, since I have said, yes, I want to be a Christian, I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ, how much has the kingdom of God advanced as a result of it? We have to ask ourselves this because we must remember, God saves us because he loves us, but he saves us to use us. It's been said he saves us to send us. Just something for us to think about this morning. Has my salvation and my faith advanced the kingdom of God? If not, you need to go home today and you need to say, God, show me what I'm supposed to do. Who am I supposed to be speaking to this week? What? Show me a vision of what you want me to do. What is the will that you have for my life? Look with me at verse 13 and 14. Before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come. This is a few awesome verses right here, and we don't have a whole lot of time to really dig into the depth of it. But Jesus is reminding the people of all the prophets and all their prophecies of the Messiah coming. You see, John was the last. Out of all the prophets and all the prophecies and all those things, John the Baptist was the last one. He was the bridge that was going to span from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Right? He was transitioning for that new covenant. If you go to Malachi verse 3, this is the last book in the Old Testament. The prophet Malachi says this, look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you look for so eagerly, sorry about that, will surely come, says the Lord of heaven's army. If you go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, he says this, look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day that the Lord arrives. So was John the Baptist actually Elijah in person? No. Now, some people say he was, some people say he wasn't. I don't think he was. But was he Elijah in the spirit and power? Absolutely. Jesus was reminding them that John the Baptist was the one whom God raised up to be the end of one era and the beginning of a new era. And what's so cool about this, what's so awesome about this, is this new era, this new covenant includes each one of us who are believers. We are to go out into the world and tell about the Messiah. See, before it was all the prophets. They had to do that. They were the only ones that could hear from God. Right? So they would hear from God, or they would go into the most holy place. The priest would go into the most holy place behind the veil, behind the curtain. But Jesus was preparing a new way. I look at it like this. I love how John the Baptist didn't have a house. He didn't have anywhere to stay. He didn't have fine clothes. He lived from place to place. He wasn't really what people were expecting a prophet to look like. Kind of sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? See, he was preparing the way. But before we become like him, before we go out and go into the world and telling people about the Messiah, before we do this, we got to really hear the message. And we must make it real to our everyday life. So instead of us, you can hear the message, but until we really hear it and we listen and we say, I want I want this knowledge. I want to know. I want to take this and I want to apply it to my life. That's why he said, look what he says in verse 15 and we'll close. Look at what Jesus says. He says, anyone with ears, everybody got ears here this morning? I got two of them. They stick out. When I put a mask on, I look like Shrek. They get worse. All right? Anyone with ears, so that's all of us here today, should listen and understand. He doesn't just say listen. He doesn't just say hear. He says listen and understand. Jesus is telling the people, and he's telling us today, he's telling me, that God expects us to use what he's given to us to receive his message. Not just to hear it, but to receive it. We have eyes to see his works. We have ears to hear his message. We have minds to reason with the truth. We have hands to do his work with. We have feet to go where he calls us to go. Jesus is telling us that we need to wake up this morning. We need to wake up this morning and listen to his message. Not just to the words that I'm preaching, not just read through the scripture, but listen to the message of Jesus Christ. Listen to the message of John the Baptist. The kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is telling us to wake up this morning and to take what we know and to live it out as if we really hear it, as if we really believe it in our heart. Jesus is telling us this morning to be committed to him like John the Baptist. He was reminding the crowds of how committed John the Baptist was. So as we sing this last psalm, I'll ask you this. There's three main things that I want to pull out of this, and we could go all day. But what spoke to my heart was the wavering faith. People, you know, there's somebody here today that's just like that reed that's blowing in the wind, that's getting doubled over by all the confusion in the world, all the political mess, all the false teachers. Should we do this or should we do that? Does the Word of God still apply today in 2020 like it did back in the old day? Somebody's faith is wavering here today. All you have to do is go to the Word of God, go to God in prayer, and He will strengthen you. And He'll stand you back up and say, no, 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 no. Don't let the devil mess with you, because listen to who I am and what I have for your life. Listen to my eternal nature and how much I love you. The second thing is this, advancing the kingdom. There's somebody here today, like we said earlier, doesn't feel like that they're playing any part in advancing the kingdom. Maybe they're really not. Maybe you're not, because maybe you just haven't stepped out on faith. During this time of invitation, during this time that we're singing, let's evaluate ourselves and say, what has happened in the kingdom of heaven since I received the Holy Spirit? Ask God. Say, God, give me the knowledge. Give me the discernment. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Show me my ministry, what you want me to do. Or show me that person that I need to start discipling or investing in or encouraging with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a third thing is hearing the message. A lot of times there's church members who hear the message for years and years and years and years and years, but they never really let it sink in, and it never really becomes real to them. If that's you today, I would just pray that you would spend some time saying, at some point, I got to grow up, and I got to take what I've learned, and I got to go out into the world, and I got to do my part to advance the kingdom. I got to hear the message and take it out into the world. I'm going to close with this, Proverbs 18:15. A verse spoke to me this week. It says, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. See, if our ears aren't open for the knowledge of God and for God to start working in our life, how are we ever going to advance the kingdom? How are we ever going to grow? How are we ever really going to, you know, not have wavering faith? Intelligent people. I don't know about you, but I want intelligence this morning. I need it. But I don't need worldly intelligence. I want intelligence that comes from things that God teaches me. God teaches me about my heart, about my soul, about my life, about my will for me as a father and a husband and a man of God and a preacher and a pastor of a church. I want to be always ready to learn what God has for me. My ears need to always be open to hear the knowledge of God. He speaks to my heart. I don't drown him out. I say, I'm going to listen to you, God. What is it? Okay, I'm going to do that. That's all it takes. If that's you today while we're singing, if you need prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today, and you want to tell everybody what you've decided. Maybe you want me to pray with you. I'll be glad to do that. You can pray right where you are. If you want to join this family of believers and become a member of this church, we would love to have you do that. Whatever God is dealing with you this morning, come as we sing. It's hymn number 210. The words will be on the screen, but we also have the hymnals. My Jesus, I love thee. Come as we sing.